is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, Disaster Recovery Hour. I am your host, Chris Plunkett. I always kind of say that old mishmash sometimes. Here at WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. I want to thank last week's guest. Anybody who hasn't heard, go to that podcast, drhradio.net, drhradio.net. Sign up for the podcast. You can listen to the show at your leisure sometime, you know, over a nice glass of wine and as Hannibal Lecter was saying, Chianti. But load up for the podcast. We have a lot of people who sign up for the podcast. So let's move on to some other things real quick. But I want to say thanks to Stan Kolstad from last week. He's the Garden State chapter for the ACP. He's the president of our chapter here in the Jersey area. Stan will rejoin us because we wanted to, about a month from now, we wanted to talk about the southern part of the state and how they are really not part of the integration of business continuity in the southern part of. I'm not saying they're not, but there could be some more involvement. He was stressing that he would like to get down there and get some members going on down there. And also with Chris Green. Chris Green is a consultant to the show. If you've seen on the website, Chris's background is very extensive in the military hardware side, the protocol writing for all armed services. He is a risk assessor for the government from a private standpoint, like a subcontractor, if you will. And he's well-versed, been into the foreign countries. He's been on both of our wars. He's a vet. He's a dynamite guy, and he's been a good friend to the show and to myself personally. gives out a lot of information, and information here. You know, that reminds me about a meeting I had the last couple of days. The information is helpful information. It's not scary information, but some of the things that we'd like to talk about to get out to you, and some of it could be misinterpreted, but. Bottom line, it's always about preparedness for the disaster. It's a disaster recovery hour. We know that, okay? But we talk about the preparedness for a disaster and then what happens after a disaster. So, you know, I always get a little squirrely about that. I got to slow down a little bit. I'm starting to eat up my words. Because, you know, you don't want to. It's not scare tactics. It's just the reality that and the world that we live in, and it reminds me of a story of 9/11. That day, somebody I got a story, a firsthand story, but somebody was going to secure a facility, and they didn't really have the working knowledge of how to handle groups of people and how to deliver a message of saying, listen, we're under attack, you know, and the people flipped out, and it wasn't mass hysteria, cats and dogs living together, but it was enough to have a disturbing scene go and develop and move in the wrong direction. So delivering information is also a key component to the show, not in a spin matter, which because it's really not about, we're not a media show per se. We're information. We're getting out PSA, public service announcements. You know, that's the kind of thing we want to do. So the information that I do get, I like to see what is applicable, and because we get a lot of information. I get a lot of information. Bill gets a lot of information because we belong to numerous trade associations and the social media about, say, hey, Chris, this is a topic you might want to discuss. And we try to pull from that and say, okay, you know, X, Y, and Z is something that we can discuss, and I think it's valid. And I think Joe and Mary Citizen could use this in their daily lives. Again, I always emphasize that this is the world that we live in, because it is. It's not the same anymore. And when I talk to my ACP members or these chapter presidents, one of them is going to be on today from D.C., Jessica Blonde Seepersad. She's down in D.C., like I just said. You know, it's they talk about business continuity on a new level. Before, it was from the way they spoke about it years ago, it wasn't discussed with the same verve as it is now, you know. So and the government did not, you know, the government said, you know what, business, you should take care of yourself, and if you need help, we'll come out and help you. But now it's the public and the private side are really coming together. The fusion has been very positive, and the ACP has grown exponentially because of that. You know, you have a lot of guys in the ACP world, and I know we talk about it. I mean, I'm in partnership with it, you know, with the radio. They're consultants to the show and advisors, and again, it's good information to get out to you guys. You know, the private side and the public side are really starting to mesh well together. And I've seen it, you know, ramping up for me with the show. And that's why, you know, that's why we have the ACP people on, because there's, you know, there's different formulas that they implement with different parts of the country. So we're going to get to Jessica in a little while. We're also going to talk about something here on the local side with I know our local power authority has been getting blasted pretty good in the papers around the region because of preparedness regarding Irene. Try to get that Irene thing off the table and try to, you know, put some closure to it. But it rears its ugly head every other day still. You know, there's always something in the paper or on the news or still the videos and or the stories. I mean, I'm still having some like real peripheral collateral damage from the storm. People not knowing how to address that storm, and you know, well, now they're dealing with some other issues going on down the pike. So, and you know, so with that, that leads me into the announcement that the SBA, you know, they're extending, and FEMA is extending the filing deadlines for people who haven't filed yet. So, the information's on our website. So, drhradio.net. We have FEMA information. We have VOID, which is Volunteer Organizations After Disaster. We have local numbers you can call on that, and they can stick you in the right direction. I know people don't want to go to the SBA and get air balloons. That's what they've talked about to me face to face. But, you know, nothing venture, nothing gain. You might want to take a look and say you might be able to apply. And I know some people have some things worked out and some things haven't worked out. So it's really you have to do your due diligence and check it out. So we're gonna go to a break in a second. But one last little thing around on the home front here, the local stuff about Jersey with Homeland Security funding and stuff like that. You should, you know, really pay attention with the upcoming elections. What are our future leaders, you know, doing about allocating dollars towards our state? And there was an article about not the proper paperwork to get those numbers. You know, people in the middle of the country get X amount of dollars, and we get X amount of dollars. Are we doing the same as they're doing the same? And so it's something that as a private citizen you should be being aware of. You know, take a look at when it comes up to Department of Homeland Security information, and how are our assemblymen and councilmen and all the rest of the politicians providing that information is key. So let's roll to a commercial, and we'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
The first time that we saw combat as a unit, it was more surreal than anything.
Retired Staff Sergeant Dan Nevins.
You're under fire, you're getting blown up. There's definitely adrenaline. There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery and I was on a lot of pain medicine. What's going to happen next and how long am I going to be here? The Wounded Warrior Project dropped off a backpack for me, and it had everything in there that I could possibly have needed at that time. Peer visitors, people who had been where I had been before, said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. That type of thing is an invaluable service. To be honest, I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. It's a nice Tuesday out here up here in the northeast Jersey area. How it is in the rest of the country. It's dicey out there. Dicey, as I like to say. One more last thing. I just wanted to talk about the NRO, which is the National Reconnaissance Office and the Integration Council for Applied Homeland Security and Technology. They're having a I'm going to give out some more information. Conference down in the month of December down in the Philly area, which I'll be attending, and it's going to be good for information so I can get out there. It's for the public and also with ACP members. On the phone, I think Jessica. Do I have Jessica yet, Bill or Ed or Dave? I don't know if I do or not, but I think she's on the phone. But Jessica Blonde Seepersod, Jessica, DC chapter, and I don't know what he's saying, but so I'm just going to do the introduction until she gets back on the line. So, business continuity emergency manager consultant, and she works for AI Solutions.
Hey, Chris, I am here.
Oh, you are there. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just giving a little background on your credentials, and they're very extensive, and they are up on the website for people who want to check that out. We are very lucky to have people like Jessica with a wealth of knowledge on the ACP side, because you were 2 years running as the chapter president down in the D.C. area.
Yep.
And also, you're in private industry. You work for AI Solutions, which assists in the, NASA and development of that type of technology, which I don't want to. It's very advanced. I don't even want to stumble on myself. And we can mention that in a little bit. And also, receiving an award for emergency management, an iPad application, which we're going to talk about also.
Great.
And some of the stuff that you did internationally, because I always talk about with business continuity or the world, like for example, you know, Turkey's going through this horrific incident with the earthquake. You know, America's the first phone call that's made, like, hey, can you send something? Can you send supplies, money, whatever? You know, and I think business continuity is, you know, when you were talking about internationally, South America's, you know, instead, you know, teaching them is like we talked about a couple of times, you know, spend $1 for preparedness instead of $208 or $200,000 on the after effects.
Absolutely.
So, Jessica, you know, some of the things with the IA Solutions. Now, it's a company that works for the government, assists the government, and assists NASA. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to go into the continuity of ACP, because you work right there in the heart of the capital, and you know those decision makers. Do they lean on private industry as a public, and as the same synergy that that I've seen throughout the ACP world and the public side? How has it worked down there?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
No, my pleasure. Believe me, because I mean, you know, we want to get that other feel from the other chapters and different parts of the country, because there's a lot of people listening to the show via the website and the computer. So there's different parts of the country.
Yeah, well, I think the Washington D.C. chapter, if I can speak for that,
is
pretty unique, because we do have so many people who are involved in the federal sector. You know, our chapter base, our members really draw from the nonprofit sector, from, you know, federal government employees, contractors like myself who serve the federal government, to private sector employees. So I think we're pretty unique in that aspect, that we do have such a large representation from, you know, different fields within the industry. I do work at AI Solutions, and I provide emergency management contractor support to NASA headquarters. So.
Now, the headquarters is in D.C.?
Yep, we're located right downtown.
And so now is that applicable now, is handling all the properties that they own and they manage?
I work just supporting headquarters
okay.
downtown. So.
And the involvement along there is from emergency management. Is that IT? Is that the human allocation? How much is that part of the bubble?
Sure. Well, we really provide a full a variety of services, from continuity planning to family preparedness to testing, training, exercise support. So, pretty much to incident support, incident ICP. So, whatever they need, we're there to really help.
Now, you guys had the earthquake. We all had Irene. We all had the hurricane, but you guys had the earthquake. We had a little rumblings up here. We had a couple issues in Brooklyn. But you guys, now the supports, you're pretty much the support staff for the employees of NASA.
Mm-hmm.
What we spoke to Chris Green, who works for another company, and was giving me some intel in the background for what he thought they did well and what they didn't do well. On your end, Your main focus is handling the personnel for NASA and the collateral issues that can arise from that.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, well, I think everyone, I can speak, you know, in general terms, in Washington, D.C., was pretty surprised by the earthquake. I think most of us weren't sure what it was. You know, we were expecting, when you feel the building shake, or actually I was right outside on the street, and you feel the ground shake, you think, you know, maybe it was a train derailment, maybe it was a terrorist attack. You know, earthquake was definitely not on the forefront of most people's minds in Washington, given the current situation. So I think most buildings, you know, did pretty well. I know that the House and over in the Senate, they were closed for, I believe, 24 hours. And, you know, you've probably heard we did have some structural damage in the city. But overall, I think emergency managers across the region, you know, really did the best they could with, you know, some people evacuated, some people stayed sheltered in place, so, mm-hmm. you know, based on what they knew. But it really did happen quickly, and you really weren't we weren't expecting an earthquake on that Tuesday or Wednesday morning, so, or right. afternoon, excuse me.
Now working with NASA, which is a government agency basically, or funded by the government, is the ACP or your members down there, are they part? Are they both sides of the fence, the public and private, or do you find it more dominated on one side or the other?
Absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, we have about 140, 145 active members in the DC chapter, so we're pretty large. And really, if you look at their bios of our members, they come from, you know, the federal side as well as the private sector side. I think most people in Washington, I wouldn't say most, but a large proportion actually do support in some capacity the federal sector, whether they're directly employed, you know, as an emergency management specialist, as a, I don't know, security manager for a federal government or entity, or whether they're a contractor or they're providing services to the federal government, even as a private sector, you know, whether they're a vendor, you know, have some DR solution or so have something that they're selling, so... Definitely the federal government is big here, but we also do have representatives of state and local, you know, emergency management as well. So we really do have a full mix. But it is quite common that, of course, many of our members, which is really a benefit to us, as you probably know, you've had lots of chapter presidents on this call. You know, ACP is really more than a networking association. We're really a knowledge-sharing association. So we have these meetings. The DC chapter holds meetings every other month generally, and we invite one of our members or, you know, a colleague or someone our member is connected to come speak about a different topic relevant to our industry. And because we are based in Washington, we often do get a lot of really great speakers who know a lot about what's going on in the federal government, whether it's from FEMA, from DHS, from the military. So we are lucky in that regard.
Yeah, and that's what I was intrigued when when Andy, or my guru out there in the ACP in Long Island, president out there, said, you know, I think you should talk to Jessica. She's down in the D.C. area. And, you know the light bulb's popping off, Mike, because that's, you know, District of Columbia, you know, they had their own entity. How do they deal with these things? I know the government there, but the ACP is trying to be in their backyard, and how the members are cross-referencing down there. And obviously, let's call it what it is. I mean, you got a lot of people who like making a lot of decisions, so mm-hmm. there's probably a lot of chiefs.
Yeah. I mean... You know, there's, as you know, in any big city. I'm sure New York is very similar. There's a lot of people with a lot of opinions and a lot of jurisdictions and different, you know, power sharing and, you know, who's responsible for what different sections. So that definitely happens a lot in D.C. You know, at the ACP level, we're really just, you know, we're a nonprofit association. Mm-hmm. We're an industry association, so we don't actually control much, but we do have a lot of powerful members, so
right.
definitely do hear about things, and we try to use that to our members' benefit as we're able.
You know, what I want to talk about the app when we come back, but before we go, I want to talk about that international, with you were in South America and some of the countries with business continuity down there. And what I said at the beginning of our interview was, you know, the world's flat and it's, you know, we're all part of it, but between the communication and the social media, and really you can get in a plane and be anywhere in no time. And we have contingencies throughout the world of bases here and bases there, airlifting and dropping supplies, so on. I don't think people realize that we're doing that reach out to other countries because we're a very well developed country, and the best off we can help our neighbor, because really we don't want them calling us for all our goods and services on the donation side at least.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about going down and you don't really need to name any countries, but it's an important factor for our economic standpoint, because the future would have an impact if something went wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, on the industry side, I think everyone knows business continuity. In my opinion, I'm not the definitive source. Really, it seems like came out of the IT side, you know, disaster recovery planning.
Right.
And then, of course, when 9/11 occurred, you know, on the federal side, you started to see a lot of guidance over the last decade. You know, we operate under federal continuity directives 1 and 2, Homeland Security presidential directives, you know, requiring federal agencies to have continuity plans, requiring that there be continuity of government, et cetera. And I think in the private sectors, mostly in, you know, banking and regulatory side, you are seeing that business continuity plans are a requirement. Some large, you know, Fortune 500 companies, it'll be a requirement as well to make sure they can continue operating. But what's really important is everyone's ability to continue operating. And as you were talking about, even in the lesser developed, so to speak, countries, one of the efforts I think you're alluding to that at my prior company, when I was a consultant with BDA Global, we were part of a partnership with the Pan American Development Foundation and actually the ACP and BDA Global. We also had funding, I believe, from USAID to put on trainings throughout Central America and the Caribbean on the fundamentals of business continuity planning. These were 1 and 2 day seminars we held in another partner, I guess, was the American Chamber of Commerce. And we would hold these seminars and invite local businesses to come to them and nonprofits. And the idea was to teach them about how do you develop a business continuity plan? Why is this important? You know, what goes into the plan? And the idea is that, you know, as you said, the more resilient that individual businesses can be to help make these countries and these communities more resilient, when something does happen, the amount of, you know, downtime, so to speak, definitely will be dramatically cut. We do know that planning does work. And, you know, if a large, you know, manufacturing, a state in Trinidad or El Salvador, you know, if they actually have plans in place to be able to quickly deal with any type of incident, that makes, you know, it more likely that their employees will have jobs, that they won't have to shut down plants, et cetera. So this really applies to big businesses, small business, et cetera. It was a really important initiative, and I think you're starting to see more of that going on around the world, in general.
Yeah, you know, as Americans, and just again, that's my opinion. The way we think is like, you know, we're well developed. We got money. We got this. Then you know, the rest of the world are pikers, but that's not necessarily the case. But in some of the cases, they don't have the savviness. And I'm not casting aspersions on these other countries, but it is, you know, with international trade and us, we don't mass produce anymore. Mm-hmm. We're using products from other parts of the world. And you look at the earthquake in Japan, you know, between steel and rubber and things like that, you know, things that we import for the automobile industry just alone, I think it's like, 19 byproducts off of the oil industry of mm-hmm. what you can make. You know, they go down, we're going to hurt. You know, the Mississippi flooded this past spring, and we couldn't get products up and down the Mississippi, which is like the main artery right. In a person's body. And if, are you able to move into other directions? Where's that plan to say, okay, well, I'll get services from here? And I always use the example of the guy who owns a pizza store. If his main guy who gives him his sauce or cheese is, you know, he's knocked out of business, he's in Patterson, and the guy over here is coming from Long Island with the cheese, and the hurricane comes in, you know, he's out of business, but he's really, you know, he's got power, he's got everything, he's got his employees, but he's got the product.
Yeah, I mean, I think the global supply chain is itself a huge risk. I mean, there's plenty of single points of failure. You know, if something were to happen to a large port in China, all of the United States would definitely feel the effects. You know, plenty of businesses that might not even realize that they have this single point of failure wouldn't be able to receive the parts or the supplies or the services that they require. So I think it's definitely a risk. I think you're starting to see it talked about more. I've seen it, you know, in the last few years in the industry, just hearing more about supply chain risk and business continuity planning, and looking not just, you know, who are your direct vendors, but looking further down the supply chain and making sure that they have plans or they have strategies in place and contingencies, so that, you know, if something were to happen, like it did happen. I mean, as you said, the earthquake in Japan is a great example. I think, you know, Toyota only recently started, is back up at, you know, full swing production, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're you know, not to say universally wise, but we're not alone here on the planet. we're not self-sustaining with all our products and so on and so forth. If you just join us, it's Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2, WVNJ, I always stumbled on that. But I'm talking with Jessica Blond Seeprasad, and Jessica is in the private sector working for AI Solutions, which is an assistant, but you're handling the continuity and the emergency management end of the business, along with many other things. I'm kind of generalizing for NASA, and everybody knows what NASA is. so with that, I think about, you know, people like, and think of, you know, business continuity, and they listen to the radio show and they say, okay, you know, I got, you know, how does that apply to me over here in you know, in Ronkonkoma, or, you know, in Westchester, up in Rye? You know what? If you, all you got to do is, like, break it down, because I know the ACP is, everybody's, you know, at this point in the game on the radio show, ACP is business-driven in the continuity of it. However, it can be taken down into small bites and used for the small vendor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Andy just chimed in. He just said, "Don't forget about the don't forget to talk about the third chapter event on November 11th in Philadelphia." So you want to talk about that? Well, you know what? I think we're going to go to a break. Let's go to a break, and we'll talk about that. And I want to talk about that app. That app is very cool. We'll be
okay,
right back.
Great.
Thanks.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. sparkies.com or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Victor Ray, this is Scorpion 23, traveling west on MSR Vernon for Victor. 16 packs, request MSR status. Over. Roger, Scorpion 23, all MSRs and AORN past 24 hours. 3 IEDs on MSR Vernon.
Victor X-ray, this is Scorpion 23. One Victor hit by an IED at Grant. Mike Bravo, 310-737, taking small arms fire. Request QRF and medevac at this location. Over.
In war, there will always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. American troops who suffer traumatic injuries need the support of every American. Join us and send your message of support to our wounded warriors and their families at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. Let's pay a couple bills, I always say, you know, with some commercials and such. WVNJ, 1160 AM, The Voice. On the phone, I have Jessica Blonde Seepersad. Jessica, you were talking about, you told me about the app, and it's an award-winning app, right? Tell me the Eagle Horizon participation. Tell me about the civil service and contractor team, exceptional leadership and technical contributions to NASA.
Sure. No, well, that's actually an award that we, my team was awarded last year for helping provide support to Eagle Horizon. As some of your listeners might know, all executive-level federal agencies are required to participate in an annual exercise called Eagle Horizon, and it helps, you know, make sure that agencies' continuity plans do work. It helps to ensure continuity of government, et cetera. So, It's an exercise that takes place usually sometime in the spring each year, and we provided support to NASA, and we received that award. Mm-hmm. But the app that you're talking about is a different tool that's called I Am Prepared, and it's the emergency planning application for the iPad that my company AI Solutions put out this year. Would you like to hear a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do, because now it's not for the iPhone, but the iPad.
Yep.
It's for the iPad. Definitely, because I think we touched, I was talking with somebody, I don't know, last month or something about where there are applications out there, where they're in development, blah, 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 blah. So I never got anything. It wasn't on the show. It was just a conversation I was having with somebody from LinkedIn, which is a great social media for getting information. Mm-hmm. And keep, I'm sure you belong to it. Yeah, tell me about the app.
Sure. Well, basically, it came about because, you know, if you think about in an emergency what types of information you generally need when you're thinking about your own family and personal preparedness, you know, you probably, if something were to happen to your house, you wish you had access to your insurance documents, you know, maybe your medical records, your doctor's numbers for your children, for your husband and wife. You know, if you have a pet, you're like, oh, wow, I wish I had his microchip number. God forbid if he or she escaped. So basically all that information that we generally keep in filing cabinets or somewhere around our house, we thought, wouldn't it be cool to put this all into an app? And my colleagues, actually, should give them full credit, Chris Stanton and Tom Davis really led this project for our team. But what we've created here is a free app. You can go on to iTunes and download it. It's called I Am Prepared. And basically, it's exactly what we just talked about. It's an emergency planning tool. Within this app, you can upload profiles for all of your family members.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. Includes your address, your doctor's name, your blood type, you know, any allergies, health insurance information. You can do that for as many people as you have in the family so that, you know, if your school calls you and there's something wrong with your child, you're like, oh, I wish I knew that information offhand. It's all in this app. You can also upload information about your home insurance, your, you know, utility providers, you know, the water company's emergency number, anything involving your car, any information you really wish you had, you can put up here. It also has a supply kit checklist, you know, something we encourage all all people to have, whether you're part of an emergency response team or not, is to have a personal go kit. My husband and I keep, for example, bags that are packed with a few days' clothes and some basic provisions, you know, right by the front door that we can grab at any time. So I know a lot of people I've met over the last year have said, well, what would really go into a go kit, you know, a home go kit versus a work go kit? Mm-hmm. So in this app we have a checklist which includes all the information you might need, what to put in there. Also has some RSS feeds about, you know, what's going on from FEMA disaster alerts, USGS. So pretty much, it's pretty basic, but it's free. It works. It's got all the information. You can password protect it. I'm sure people listening are like, oh, I wouldn't put all that information on there. Anyone who steals my app or my iPad could find it. It's password protected. So,
That's the unfortunate part of it. It's some guy sitting in his basement does nothing all day but look for people's passwords. My Twitter account, I've changed it like 4 or 5 times. People mm-hmm. like, well, why are you saying that to me, Chris? I'm like, what are you talking about? But those URLs or whatever they call it from other countries. But at the very beginning of the program, when we came up with the idea about doing the disaster recovery hour and preparedness, we really broke it down pretty simply to a meeting place somewhere on your yard if you have a fire, and also what are your medications, and mm-hmm. and the app is, everybody's got it. My daughter has it. She's got the iPhone and the iPad. I was really against it, but you know what, we had an incident not too long ago, and it's like, you know what, we have to get her this because we need to have contact. Mm-hmm. You know, God forbid I'm classified as a bad parent because I didn't provide her with some form of electronic device, you know. And what is it, like 4 or 5 devices in anybody's given home, you know,
yeah,
the average now. And I guess that's why power is so important. The app's a free download, and it's on the pad itself. It won't go on the iPhone. Is there a future application to get on the iPad on the iPhone, or?
I'm not sure at the exact moment. This one we did develop for the iPad. We have talked about creating a similar one for the iPhone, so I'll keep you updated on that. But
definitely.
In the meantime, it's and this is not the only tool out there. You know, there's social media has, you know, there's lots of ways to store your information. If viewers don't or listeners don't have an iPad, you know, even keeping your important documents in like one particular place, like we have all our important documents in a plastic pouch that we know in an emergency we're going to grab that pouch as we run out the door. You know, there are other ways you can get about it or store information on your phone. So
cool. We got a comment from Phil. He says, checking the app out right now. This is amazing. We are always encouraging people to be prepared and have this info on hand, but where? So he says, this is great. So there we go.
Great. Thanks, Phil.
Exactly, Phil. And that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff that that I like about the show. It's we had last week, we had 2 weeks ago, Lieutenant from one of our local fire departments, a very large for the county seat, Hackensack. And he's like, Chris, if it was just, you know, out of my 20 some odd years of doing this, if I just saved one person, it meant everything, you know. And that's, you know, that 6 degrees of separation, you save the one person, what does that matriculate into the future and what that person could do? You know, it's like that Liberty Mutual commercial, you know, what, helping someone out. I don't know, I get a little corny, a little Boy Scoutish when it comes to that, but I think that kind of stuff like that is great. Andy did mention it, Andy Weitzberg from Long Island chapter ACP, you're having something when? November 11th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It's in Philly?
So basically, last year at the ACP President's Council, I was having dinner with a few of the president chapters from the East Coast, Liberty Valley, Maryland, First State Delaware chapter president, and we decided that wouldn't it be great if we all came together and put on a regional expo for our industry. Because, you know, there are lots of different conferences. You know, I'm sure your listeners are aware of ERJ and Continuity First, et cetera.
Right.
But we thought, let's put on just an ACP-specific event, you know, geared towards really our members, and let's see if we can make this free. So what we've done this year is we've actually teamed up or sort of piggybacked off Liberty Valley's successful symposium that they have every year. But this year we're calling it the Mid-Atlantic Regional Expo. It's actually open to all ACP members and their guests. It's completely free. We just need you to register. It's going to be held outside of Philadelphia, actually at the Ramada Philadelphia Airport.
Been there.
Hotel. Okay. And we have a full day of speakers and breakout sessions. We have a vendor room. We have 19 vendors currently signed on, you know, all relevant to our industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of great speakers. Our keynote is Dr. Larry Barton. He's going to be talking about new insights on threats at work. So it should be a great opportunity. And I don't know, could I send you maybe the URL and
definitely.
You could post that?
Yeah, definitely.
If people are interested.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, okay. We try to get all that that information on the website, drhradio.net website, for all the guests and plus with the ACP, because there's a lot of information. But if you like I said, it's always take little bites. We get a little bit at a time up on the website, and you revisit it all the time. You're able to gather this and do something with it. Because I'll be down there, and we'll get to meet face to face, and you can buy me dinner, and we'll put it on ACP's on the corporate card. But I appreciate you taking time. I know what you know. There, you guys with NASA and the government and the ACP as being the president. There's always lots to do, and you probably get about 2 hours a night of sleep. Jessica, thanks a lot. I hope to have you on again. And we'll see you in a month and change. November 11th, though. So, no, we're talking about,
a
couple of weeks. Honey, I'm going to Philly. But, all right, thanks, Jessica. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks so much. All right. Thanks to all your listeners.
No, that was very, very informative. And the app, I think, is going to be a hit. We'll be having it uploaded very soon, believe me, by the end of the day.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Listen, we're going to go to a break. I'm going to bring back a special guest on the cuff here. He's a local council president for one of the towns in Bergen County, and we've had some issues with Irene, and I'm going to get his take on it. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area. Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
At least 1 in 4 businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat, at least 1 in 4 businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47. Heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Welcome back. The last quarter of this football game, the show. Quick announcement for next week's guest is going to be Fernando Alonso and Rich Goldberg. They're assembly candidates in the New Jersey 38th District, and they're one of their topics and platforms and issues are, you know, the flooding, and that really springs me right into this. But we got to talk fast because we only have, I think, 11 minutes to go in the show. Is a friend of, I don't know, 30 years at this point, but is also the president and council for the River Edge. River Edge is a town here in Jersey. We have 70 towns in this Bergen County area, as well as, you know, River Edge is like any other town in any other county in Jersey, Long Island, Westchester, the outer boroughs, so on and so forth. By Paul Quartz is the president. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I called Quartz in. I called him in, and
thanks.
All right, because. There was a symposium of some a conference last night about PSE&G. PSE&G is our largest electrical power supply company in our area, and I live not too far from Paul. And so during the hurricane, we all got blasted, lost power, yada yada yada. We were looking for answers. Paul said in that part of Bergen County, the which always gets affected after a heavy storm, where, you know, it's just arbitrarily, okay, you're out without power for X amount of days. And there's really no rhyme or reason or, you know, to it, except that, you know, okay, a couple of trees fell down, some transformers. So, Paul, recap it, because I know it's quick, but, you know, give us the history and why you guys got together and say, listen, we need some answers.
Well, I mean, this last storm, it was basically a slow-moving storm. We had 7 days to get ready for this thing. And you know, in your own household, you bought your generators, your backup pumps, whatever you needed to prepare for any flooding to happen in your house. Well, when the storm finally hit, the power didn't go out until the storm was gone. So the storm went back out. I guess it went inland a little deeper. And then what happened was then the power or the river started cresting. And public service has, at least in our area, has their substation in the downtown part of New Milford, which right. is literally on the same level as the water.
Right.
Now, what happened was when that water rose, their substation got flooded out, and there goes River Edge, Ordell, New Milford, powers out. Now, this is something that, you know, just didn't happen this one time. This is something that happens every major storm. The flood goes up, and what they're talking about is that this is a storm that comes every 100-year storm.
We've had like 100 storms every 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. So these 100-year storms are coming three times a year now.
Right.
And I don't know if it's just the weather pattern that's changing the direction of it, but, you know, it's become a problem. And, you know, I wrote in the article when I was interviewed on it, you know, they wanted my opinion on what they thought public service should do. And, you know, my opinion was when I went down to take a look at where the area was flooded, I just looked at it and said, why do they not raise the power that's there or put something up on higher stilts or move it? And I know you can't move it. It's going to cost billions and billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and I know in our industry,
right?
You know, the people that were devastated by the storm. And when you look at public service and their reaction to it, to me, it was criminal. You know, they came in there. They said, you know, this is what we weren't prepared for. There were statements in the paper saying they weren't prepared for it. And in Bergen County, there was pretty much every mayor from town from the county met yesterday at this organization, this BPU meeting. And the reaction on their end, not the mayor's end, on the BPU was there was no reaction. You know, there was like, well, let's take it back. We'll figure out what we can do. But the best thing that happened was the mayors got together and they say, we're going to put forth a recommendation to the public service that they're going to have to abide by. Now, that's in the process of being handled right now,
mm-hmm.
which is move to the right direction.
Right.
One thing I did write in the article was I didn't want to see this come out on the ratepayers' bill.
Right.
You know, because you know in our industry that when, you know, things go up in our end, it guess what? It gets passed down to the consumer.
Yep.
And the thing that we don't want to see is them turn around and say, okay, we'll do all the work you want, but guess what? You're going to see it in your rate next year. And this is one thing that all the mayors said yesterday. In fact, Mayor Peg Watkins from our town asked the BPU to give everybody a Christmas gift this year, not charge them for a couple months of their billing. And that went over like a lead balloon, obviously. But, you know, it's something that they would have to consider. And, you know, this was kind of a storm where you get tired of it. You know, it happens third time this year. I think it was last year in March of...
And the year before in March.
Yeah, exactly.
For guys like you and I in the emergency service business, we're busy and, yeah, we're doing business. And but you know what? After a while, you know what? I saw the same faces like you do. You see the same faces over and over, and you almost become family, and you
yeah,
become
our same customers.
Yeah, you know, yeah, where the, half of them are our same customers, and it's just. You know, but now this one is some of them with some of these customers. That's it, man. They're done. They're gonna try to sell their homes. They're gonna lose money, and they're looking for a little assistance. And you know, we live in a very expensive area. The whole, you know, 90 miles in any direction. It's a very expensive area to live, and power is very expensive. You know, these ratables like you talked about, we were getting crushed. And you know, again, these are the opinions of, and but you know, factual is facts when it comes to dollars. You know exactly what you're spending per month. But you know, I saw those two transformers where they were. It's like you might as well just put them right on the beach.
Well, here's the brainchild of all these. You know, you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar company, public service, and they know this area like the back of their hand. So when that substation went down, their backup plan was to put a portable generator on River Street next to the Von Steuben House. Well, you and I know where the Von Steuben House is. It's pretty much in the middle of the Hackensack River.
Right.
So what happened was that they put their substation there, and that got flooded out. And what happened was two of their public servicemen had to be rescued from the transfer station itself. And when that question was brought up yesterday about why did you put the portable transfer station on River Road, and their answer was it was the highest point. Now, you know, you're talking about people that this is their business.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, they're not making donuts, they're not doing anything else. They're giving power to the county, and they don't know where these points are. And now these portable generators are great. They're million-dollar machinery that they can move anywhere they want, but right. Not to know where they can put it and know that this is a flood zone. You know, again, if they put this portable thing on lift jacks or something like that, we probably would have had, you know, we probably would not have been in the situation we were. But it was, like I said, it's kind of a, you know, devastating thing to see our customers, you know, with their faces saying, you know, I got to move out of Bergen County because this is constantly happening.
Yeah, it's and you know, for your president to come up here and, you know, and scan the area. I mean, he was mostly in Passaic County because the Passaic is a tad mightier than the Hackensack or the Ramapo for that matter. But you know, for him to make the trip up here and spend the gas, you know, was a serious situation. You know, it'd be great to get someone. You know, maybe the PSC&G guys would like to talk to us about that. That would be great. You know, and communications is the key to success on this whole thing.
Yeah, I think, and I'm going to cut you off there, but I think what's going to happen is you're going to hear a lot more out from the public service. They're going to have to, because if not, you're going to have every councilman right now who is watching every dollar that's in town.
Right.
And they're having their concerned citizens. Like we have a street in River Edge, Voorhees Ave. Now that area just floods out, and that just started flooding out very seriously in the past 4 to 5 years. Now we have a block that has made an organization, and rightfully so. We need to find a way to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we as councilmen don't jump on this and keep, you know, public service feet to the fire, then who's going to do it?
Right.
You know, and this is something that I think, you know, they're a big organization. They need to start being responsible. You know, stop, you know, leaning towards the money makers where they get their money from, and start dealing with the people who are paying the bills.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really similar to you talk about business continuity, and the government not being able to really save everybody. And we talked about FEMA on the show plenty of times. But, you know, they're advocating Harry homeowner to have a plan, have an emergency kit, to-go kit, backup generator, so on and so forth. You know, and this action committee, you're on Voorhees Avenue and your council and the councilmen of all our towns. You know, like I said, you and I live in this whole same stretch that we all get flooded. But it is the beauty of saying, you know what, enough's enough. We're going to get together. We're going
to
start.
Well, I mean, it's something that we're looking forward to. You know, it not only taxpayer but ratepayers. You know, we're getting killed on every angle. You know, and listen, we don't know what nature's going to do when the weather mm-hmm. comes around. But you've been doing this for how long? You know, it's like you know what's going to happen. And to see those guys, you know, gathered around the substation when it was all dried out, and they just, you know, listen, we know what happens when we're emergency. A situation. I mean, you know, the last thing we want to do is have a customer yelling at us.
Right.
You know, but you know, to have all the eyes in the world saying, you know, you guys do this every day. You know, why are we dealing with this for the third, fourth time in a matter of 3 years?
All right. I mean, we're looking at I think another couple of more inches of rain, and the most will surpass 1983, which I think you and I were seniors in high school.
Yeah.
So we were really smart. We paid attention to how much rain was going on, right? But it's
a good stat.
It is, isn't it? But between the snow and the rain, it's those inches. Not with snow, because snow, you know, they measure it and say, I think we got 69 inches this year. That collapses into a liquid form. That's how they matriculate that number. But it's not going anywhere. And you know what? We live, Bergen County is what, the third or fourth richest county in the country.
Yeah.
We're not an island, but we're getting treated like an island.
Yeah, but the funny thing about that is where the substation is, you have the Ordell Reservoir.
Right.
Now, in order to keep Ordell from flooding, they have to release the reservoir. So when they release the reservoir, they gave you, they gave a total of 2 hours to evacuate. And when they released the reservoir, it came flowing right down towards Paramus, and Hackensack got hit, and all the way down the line. So it's almost like a chain reaction all the way down the line. So mm-hmm. when they released that, they said, okay, get out of the way, because if they didn't, it would go back from Ordell all the way back up the hill.
Hillsdale and Woodcliff Lake and Park Ridge, those guys get crushed also, because we got these chain of, the topography of it, if you looked at it, e-maps or whatever they call it, we have these little pockets of reservoirs going all the way up into New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the management of that, again, the show is what it is, Disaster Recovery Hour, but there's, driving forces to be prepared for these things. And I think that's great. I'm going to check that out in my town, because there's the part of the other side, like along the river, they get crushed all the time. And I go down and, put my drying equipment in, and they see me and say hello, and we have a sandwich together, because that's how personal it is now.
Yeah.
It's the third time. Paul, I appreciate you coming to get the, I saw the article and I wanted to talk about it. I've always wanted to talk with the flooding issue, and we're going to talk about it again next week with a couple of future assemblymen. If they win, that would be great for us in the 38th district. Again, that's Paul Kortz is the president, the council president for River Edge, and he's got a bright future. I know, because he's my buddy. And I appreciate you coming in. One last thing, our continuing disaster is the war. I know it ended in Iraq, but we still got troops there. They're still in harm's way. And also a local guy, we got to cut off there. Just a real quick second is, if I pronounce it wrong, it's going to, no offense, George Olivieri was killed in action in Afghanistan. He was a detective in the Essex County Sheriff's Department. So our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. All right, take care. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.